And peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learned this morning that our scheduled preacher was ill. That leaves a number of options: no homily, go to the barrel. I've selected to employ a third option, and it has some historic precedent in the church. It's called exhortation, a brief message dealing with confession and absolution for those about to receive the sacrament. Now, I'll do it on the basis of the scripture lesson for today, a theme that is common in both of them, reconciliation and forgiveness, particularly the verses from the gospel lesson, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Someone made a film about it and called it irreconcilable differences. Scripture calls it unforgiven sin. God's people in the Old Testament faced it. They knew that unforgiven sin was as deadly as unremoved garbage. And the pages of the Old Testament deal with both. Israel knew how serious it was to have rotting garbage in their camp, and you can read on the pages of Scripture that there were rigid laws governing its removal. They knew, for example, you couldn't have a rotten old bullock smelling up the camp. You took it out and you burned it. They also knew how deadly and serious unremoved sin was. And they had elaborate ritual whereby sin and guilt were symbolically removed through a very complicated and involved sacrificial system. Read the book of Leviticus and you find out something about sin and guilt, page after page, each one crying out to God's people, unremoved sin is deadly, it's serious, you've got to get rid of it, or it'll kill you. He says the same thing to us. We know an awful lot about garbage in the 20th century. We know you can't just shove it out of the way and forget it. It's a major crisis in a city when the garbage collectors go on strike. But what about guilt? The troubled conscience, the sleepless night. The harder we try to cover it up, the worse it becomes. And like sticking garbage in our closet, it becomes worse. That's stupid, and it's mighty, mighty dangerous. You see, that's why our Savior taught us to pray, our Father, forgive us our trespasses. No elaborate ritual, no symbolic scapegoat. One of the marvelous proclamations of the New Testament is that God himself stands ready to remove our guilt, to haul it away. Indeed, in Jesus Christ he has. One of the most shocking themes of the Gospels is that in Jesus Christ, God becomes a garbage man. That's the picture that Paul had in mind when he wrote to the Corinthians. He hath made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In the incarnation of his Son, God joins the garbage collector's union. He puts on his overhauls and collects all of our sin and guilt into himself as his Son washed our streets and sweats our sweat and bleeds our blood and finally dies our death. Jesus Christ gathers up the whole burden of all man's guilt in one single mighty load. And he puts it on his shoulders, marches up the hill of Calvary, and with his own life, he pays the penalty for all of our sins. God's Son looks down from the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We pray, forgive us our trespasses, and we look back to that crucial moment in history when God loaded upon himself the guilt of the whole world and died for our forgiveness. What do we do with sin and guilt in our life? Give it to God. He's the only one who can do something about it. We don't try to hide it or dispose of it ourselves. We keep it to ourselves. It piles up. It ruins our life. So we pray, forgive us our trespasses. The forgiveness doesn't end there. You see, God never left us off the hook. There's more to the text and there's more to the prayer he taught us to pray, as we forgive those who trespass against us. As if we could do any other, forgiven by God, we forgive. God reaches down to forgive us. We reach out to forgive each other. We confess our sin and iniquity and receiving God's gracious pardon with Christ. He forgives us. He's out in forgiving love to those around us. I don't know who said it, but I think it's very wise. And true, forgiveness is the heartbeat of God within the heart of man. For as we reach out to take God's forgiveness in one hand, our other hand dare not be clenched in a fist to stump the stuffing out of our neighbor. For you and I were never ever created to be an echo of the hatred and the vengeance of the world. Rather, we are called by God to be an unceasing echo of the love that comes from Calvary's cross. Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's the petition on our lips as we approach our Lord in the Holy Communion this morning. Really and personally, He comes to us. He takes our guilt and says, let me have it, leave it all with me. I come to take care of it by the blood of my cross and by my glorious resurrection. But also hear Him say, as we receive so great a gift, as I have done for you, so you now do for one another. It is in the Holy Communion that we truly learn to see each other as Jesus sees us, object of forgiving love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.